We are going to be taking a little bit of a delay before we get started with KMAN's In Focus. And there's a good reason why. Because the Jingle Bell Rock has been found. And it has been brought into the studios. We have a couple of representatives of a group of, what, five or six of you out there?
Yeah, roughly.
Tell me your name, sir.
My name is Joel Muldrup.
And you are?
Ashley Porter.
Well, you found the Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah.
So okay, first, tell us where you found it, Joel.
So technically, it was my sister-in-law, Brianne Porter, that found it, but it was on Linear Trail off of Anderson Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
In between two timbers underneath some leaves, the turtle was face side up. Is that correct? So, yep.
And Ashley, what led you to that location?
Just because the Cleo talked about a trail this morning.
Mm-hmm. What time did you went out this morning to find it?
Yes.
And what was that like, stomping along the trail? Was there a particular place on the trail that the clues revealed to you, Ashley?
No, we are just kind of looking along the whole trail.
Were there other people out there looking, Joel?
There was tons of people.
Were there?
When we were going there, there were people showing up, and then leaving, there were more people showing up. So, yeah.
So you've got this. Have you gotten the prize package yet?
No, I haven't seen it
yet. We have it for you.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll walk out the day. You've got what? How many of you are there that were working on this search together?
I think there's six of us.
How are you going to split all that up?
I'll let Brianne take care of that. She's an accountant, so.
So you knew it was the Jingle Bell Rock when you found it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. The turtle was faced up, and I think Brianne was like, oh, look, a turtle. And so then when she looked at it closely, she's like, oh, that's the rock.
That's the rock. And Ashley, what was your first reaction?
At first I thought she meant it was a real turtle, and then I was just surprised that it was the real rock.
And were the five of you all pretty much in the same general area, or were you stomping along, and then did you just yell out and scream with joy? And
so we had just arrived, and we were headed towards them, kind of looking along the trail, backtracking where they had already looked. And then Brianne, when she found it, called us, like yelling and screaming, I found the rock. So then me and my pregnant wife just took off to find them.
How many months pregnant?
That's a good question. I think she's 7 months.
You should
pregnant.
Know these
I
things.
I should know these things, but.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So, Ashley, is this the highlight of 2020 for you?
Yes.
I would imagine so. Well, congratulations. We're looking forward to giving you some good stuff. Thanks for coming in. And have you been searching for quite some time for the rock, Ashley?
This year?
This year?
We started on, like, clue 11, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Clue 11 sounds about right.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. Well, that's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Enjoy and Merry Christmas to all five of you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you, too. Thanks for taking the time.
How much fun is that? The Jingle Bell Rock discovered. It's been found. Okay, are you ready for you?
Yeah.
You got everybody online?
We're ready to go, yep. Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. Well, that sure was exciting. We are going to continue kind of in the holiday theme here this hour. We've got joining us on the phone here this morning, Alana Parker from the Riley County Historical Museum. Good morning.
Good morning. That is exciting.
Boy, it certainly is.
They found the rock, and I actually had forgotten about it until yesterday. I think I was mentioning to you, we had people looking around the museum, and cars in the parking lot. I thought, what on earth is happening? I went out and asked, and they said, oh, the rock. So I said, oh, yes, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they found it.
Certainly, yeah, and it's kind of unusual for it to go this long. I think usually it goes maybe 2-3 weeks, and people are pretty good following these clues here, but it took a little longer this year than normal, but nice to hear that it was found before Christmas, because I was starting to wonder if it was not going to be found until after.
Yeah, well, that's very exciting, and congratulations to them. What a great gift.
Absolutely. It kind of fits nicely into our theme here of today. We're going to be talking about kind of some holiday traditions in Riley County history here. I remember doing a program last year. We did something kind of similar with Cheryl and did a lot of kind of old-time radio clips of things people used to listen to back in the early 20th century. But it's always fun to go back and kind of look, because Christmas is one of those holidays we kind of always reflect back on old memories, especially from our childhood.
Absolutely. There's always, whether it's the smell of the kitchen that brings back a memory of the special food that's being cooked, or that really special gift that you received from a family member. And so we're very fortunate to be able to research local history and to share some of these pieces of our Riley County history and with you today. And as always, thank you so much for the invitation to join you. And we thought we'd go all the way back to the founding of Manhattan Riley County in 1855. So I'm sure many are familiar with Isaac and Ellen Goodnow. And we thought it would be fun to look at. So Isaac kept a diary throughout his life. And in his diary, well, the exception of just a couple years that are missing from his life, he left one year, he was traveling on a train and left his diary on a train. And so who knows where that one is today, but we were able to look at what Isaac was doing on December 25th, 1855. So this would be his first Christmas in Riley County. So this, again, this is Tuesday, December 25th, 1855. Isaac said, "Christmas, a very cool, still pleasant day. The thermometer at sunrise was 18 degrees. Such cold weather is rather discouraging to new settlers in their open cabins. 3 inches of snow in chamber. 1 hour's work to clear it. A thankful Christmas, but not a merry one." And then he goes on to say his brother-in-law and then his brother-in-law's son dined with them that evening. But if you can imagine what it would be like in Riley County, 1855, their first Christmas, and many of those pioneers like Isaac and Ellen Goodnow, they left pretty comfortable lives behind in New England to come here to Kansas. And of course, their reason for coming here, especially Isaac and Ellen, they wanted Kansas to be a free state once it became a state. So it's a lot of fun just to imagine, they're living in this dugout cabin, dirt floor. Obviously, Isaac said, not a very merry Christmas, but his task on Christmas Day is to try to get the snow out of the cabin. So that makes me real thankful when I go home to be able to go into a warm home. But that was kind of fun to look at what Christmas was like for them that first December here.
Can you imagine that, too? Like, so first time being out here in Kansas and experiencing our winters, and must have been a real challenge.
Absolutely. And then just thinking about some of those traditions that we have today, whether it's the Christmas tree. So I thought that might be kind of fun to talk about, too, is just the history of the tradition of the Christmas tree. So coming out here to Kansas, of course, today we see many trees around us in the area here. That's not what our Riley County area looked like in 1855. Trees were pretty sparse. You could find them by the rivers, by Wildcat Creek. But other than that, for a Christmas tree, there are some recollections of pioneers. They actually, especially out in western Kansas, they're using tumbleweeds as Christmas trees within the home. So they would paint it if they could. But to imagine, that's what you have is a tumbleweed for your Christmas tree. And then a lot of times, so as we get into the 1860s and 1870s here in Riley County, they planted those cedar trees. Those were the common trees that were used for Christmas trees, the red cedar, which of course is invasive today. My gosh, I know whenever I go home to my dad, he's cursing all those red cedars popping up on the property, but they would use those red cedars, and they intentionally planted them. And in some areas, there was in a newspaper clipping from the 1870s, they specifically planted a tree to be ready in time for Christmas. It wasn't ready, so they had to do without a tree that year.
That would not be very fun. Christmas trees are kind of like the most important thing.
It's just like kind of that centerpiece of the home. And I know this year, especially with people being home, we got that tree up as quickly as possible. I don't know if you've got your tree up yet, but Oh, yeah. I know as soon as, yep, after Thanksgiving was kind of our cutoff, that tree was up in lickety-split time, so.
Yeah, see,
but, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, with us, see, I was in quarantine in November, and I was kind of bored at home, so I put my Christmas tree up, I think, around mid-November.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's, yes, exactly. If you've got that time at home, and it, but it brings you that that warmth. It's just, as you're talking about, those memories of your childhood and Christmas time. And so the Christmas tree is pretty special. And it was also interesting for our area here, and I think this was common throughout the United States early on, you had more community Christmas trees. So in the 1870s, I'm looking at the local newspapers, primarily you had Christmas trees just within in churches, for example. So you didn't really find too many. It just started to become popular where you were finding family Christmas trees in the homes. And the person who really is responsible for the popularity of Christmas trees in the United States is Queen Victoria, which she has quite an influence. Of course, the Victorian era in design and decor is named for her. But it was actually in 1846 when Queen Victoria and then German Prince Albert, they were sketched in an illustration in the London News, standing with their children around the Christmas tree. And, of course, Queen Victoria was very popular with the subjects. And even here in Manhattan during that time, whatever Queen Victoria was doing, for example, in the 1880s, there's a newspaper article that mentions, Queen Victoria has tabooed the wearing of bangs on your forehead. You should do the same. And that's in the local paper here. So whatever Queen Victoria is doing, they're encouraging you as far as popular culture at the time to do the same. So it was that sketch in the London paper that was then illustrated in Godey Lady's book here in the United States. And that's where it really took off. Queen Victoria is decorating her tree this way. We here should do the same. So it's kind of funny how some things change and some things stay the same. I'm sure you've noticed when you go to the grocery store in the checkout line, you know, you're waiting to waiting in line there. And if you look through the magazines and the tabloids, almost every time I see something, the front page on the royal family. So we still do that today here in the United States, following what the royal family is doing. But it was Queen Victoria that really helped popularize the Christmas tree that we think of today.
I did not know that. We have a caller on the line here who has a question or a comment here, so we'll get to him. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, you kind of blew through the story about the hour of shoveling snow with Isaac. You know, he also had to clear the path out to the outhouse. And another here at Christmas time, at Christmas time, we think about the star, the Christmas star. Well, you know, they had to transport the recovery of the Roswell UFO crash through Fort Riley and refuel the planes as they were flying the remains to Patrick Air Force Base in Ohio. Thank you for your history.
Oh, thank you so much. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know too much about UFOs, but
I don't either, but that's interesting.
Yeah. All right, well, let's I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll have more with Alana Parker after this on News Radio KMAN.